Welcome to the Born and Raised audio experience, presented by Onyx.
Another special episode of the Born and Raised audio experience coming at you. We've got a ton of stuff to talk about. Why I said special is because we're going to do live call-ins,
live
call-ins. Q&A, and we haven't done this in a while, and I'm jacked about it.
Yeah, it's nice to the one concept when we started the podcast was something different in listener involvement, and so we're going to go to the airwaves with questions from you guys and get your take on life and hunting.
But first, before we get to that, we've got some special announcements just to kind of keep you guys updated on what we're doing and with the goings-ons. Cody, go ahead.
Yeah, so the month of June, we've got a gear giveaway we're doing. Go to bornandraisedoutdoors.com/giveaway, and we've got 10 prize packages. Just sign up and with your email, and we're going to draw that right there the 1st of July. So we've got Vortex Spot and Scope, arrows,
tons of cool
sharpeners
stuff
from Work Sharp, Day 6 arrows, Go Hunt,
First Light,
Onyx. It's
you name
all
it
going down. So
you name it.
Yeah.
Big prize package.
Picking out all the stops.
Oh, yeah. Real deal stuff.
Yeah. So it's kind of what we've talked about is like the essentials for hunters. So got a bunch of cool stuff there throwing down.
Cool. So, and another giant event that we have coming up, and somebody the other day texted me and they said there's like 80 some odd days left till hunting season. I was like, no way. But yeah, it is coming up super soon, guys. It is going to be here before we know it. But we're doing a giant event. It's going to be, you're going to have to get tickets for this thing. We actually have been working with a local brewery, Old 99 Brewery, which is just down the road from us. And we're brewing our own beer.
Yeah.
It's going to be a little bit of tagged out ale, possibly.
Tagged out ale. We got a test batch this last week, and it is the quintessentials taste of fall.
It's
crushable?
Crushable.
Everything-able.
Yes. All in.
Yep. Yeah. Little hazy action. Got a little hop finish. Citrus front. It's pretty awesome.
So what we've got going on to lead up to that is we are going to be doing a big event, and we haven't picked the venue yet. We're still working on that right now, but it's going to be save the date of August 10th. And we're only going to allow, 300 to 500 probably.
Yep.
We're depending on the venue that we choose. So get ready for that, and we'd love to see anybody there. We're going to do a live podcast at the time, and it'll be a question and answer thing, and we're going to invite everybody to be on the pre-planning for the next hunting season this fall for us. So we're going to talk about all our plans, and it's going to be kind of an exclusive. It's
kind of get
a
the DL behind the scenes making of for 2019 elk season.
It's going to be awesome. So anyway, save the date, August 10th, and details yet to be determined.
So stay tuned. The other one up, Wesley. 100,000 subscribers. How close are we?
We got 90 to just below 94K. It's like 93.8 or something.
Subscribers on YouTube.
I haven't checked today.
So if you guys are listening to this podcast and don't subscribe to us on YouTube, it costs you nothing. Just let you know.
For free.
You just click the subscribe button and turn on that bell notification. And when we drop a video, you'll get notified. So you can follow along on the YouTube side. Definitely, it would mean the world to us if you could do that. And if you're already subscribed, just share the channel with a buddy. That would mean so much for us. You guys consuming our content is pretty rewarding. So thank you so much for doing that.
Yeah, and I lied about the 93. It is now 94,174.
There you go.
There we go.
A couple of people heard us. That's awesome.
There we go.
Yeah.
All right. So we're going to be calling some folks here real quick. Let me.
So we've done this a few different times, guys. And what we're doing is we just DM it out there. So if you listen to us through podcasts, through this audio experience that we got going on, what we'll do is throw it out there on Facebook. Or is it Facebook and Instagram, or just Instagram on this one?
I think both.
So we'll do both, and we'll throw it out there. If you guys have any questions for us, we are definitely not not the the top of the line information and anything, but we've done a lot of things. And so
Star 67 this?
Learning,
right?
Learning from our mistakes.
If we call you, you have Wesley's number.
Call him late.
You control him all you want.
Mm-hmm. I'll just trust people.
Just post his number on social. No big deal.
Sorry, guys. It's taking me forever to just dial this up.
Yeah, it is. So anyway, it's those social media hubs that we do this on, the calling thing.
Yeah, and if you guys like this format, let us know. Drop us an email, shoot us a DM. This is something, like I said, the base of what we started the podcast on. And if you guys like this format, let us know, and we'll continue doing it.
All right. So this is Austin14J. His question is, I live in Washington, and with work, I can only go out two to three days at a time. Best advice on how I can kill an elk in a short amount of time?
Great question.
So we will be
dial the number.
Yeah, Austin?
Austin.
It's out for audio pretty good. Hey, Austin, can you hear me very well?
Yep, who's this?
This is Trent Fisher from Born and Raised Outdoors.
Oh, what's up?
How's it going, buddy?
I almost get an answer. I was like, man, this is some telemarketer thing. I totally forgot.
No, I'm gonna sell you something at the end, but we can talk before that.
How's your day going up there, Austin? This is Cody, and you got Wes on the line as well.
What's going on, Austin?
It's going pretty good.
Did we get you during a good time?
I work at 3, and I'm just chilling at home.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome.
So we got your question about being able to kill an elk in 2 to 3 days at a time, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great question. When we started Born and Raised Outdoors, we didn't do this full-time by any means. We all had full-time jobs, and we definitely know exactly where you're coming from on that. And what we would do is we would maximize our time every single day. So we would hunt, honestly, almost every single evening, even if we worked that day. I don't know what your hour schedules are or whatnot. And a lot of that was, honestly, to set us up for the weekends. And so we would hunt our butts off during the week in the evenings, and then every weekend we would leave Friday night and we would hit it hard for those, just for the weekends. So that's one way. I mean, you can do it, and it's tough with families and stuff like that. I'm not sure what your background is there, but
yeah. And I think the biggest thing in that 2 to 3 days is when you're there, hunt all day long, hunt every minute possible. Don't you know, a lot of guys go out in the morning, then they come back to a camp, hang out for 4, 5, 6 hours, and then go back out in the evenings. And, you know, capitalize on every minute available and put yourself, you know, the easiest thing to say is, like, you can't kill them from camp. And that is, I think, pretty true. So.
Except if you're me and Trent. Last year, we killed him from camp. But
Steve did.
I think I'd have to concur with you, Cody. A lot of people give us crap for sleeping in, and that's because we're doing it 50 days in a row. It's not because we're there for 2 or 3 days at a time. So,
yeah.
Yeah. And then, you know, on the off-season side of it, planning to cover, figure out, you know, where you can maximize. So have multiple areas kind of lined out. And then, okay, and kind of start through process elimination on going to plan A, B, C, and down the line. And having that kind of all thought out ahead of time, you know, if they aren't here, where could they be? You know, I don't know, depending, are you hunting private timberland and mountain biking? Are you?
Private timberland that, you know, you can hunt, and then a little bit of public, and mainly just walking.
Uh-huh.
I might do a little bit of. There's a place where I live where it's no access by vehicle, and it'd be just a big pain to walk the road. And I'm thinking of taking a boat across the lake and getting in like 10 miles or you know, whatever it would take to walk to get there.
Yeah, that's a great idea. It's a great idea. And two, what like Cody touched on a little bit ago is be super mobile. Like, don't go into an area and be like, there's got to be elk here, there's got to be elk here. Read what you see and the time that you have. So if you go in there for a day and it's like, you don't see elk, you don't see sign, you don't see anything, don't go, well, maybe tomorrow will be better. Don't try to, you know, pigeonhole yourself into that. Jump out, be mobile, get out of there and go actually where you find elk. Go in the spots where you can see sign, where you know you're around them.
Yeah, I think, and it's hunting the elk and not so much the country. I think a lot of people want to hunt a certain drainage and they planned all summer to scout it out and they're going to hunt that drainage and those elk may not move in there till the last week of season. And so, you know, like he said, having, you know, if there's elk leave rubs, especially in September, and that's, you know, rubs, tracks, scat, any of that's going to be the judgment call. And then bugle your face off.
Yep, you let your sound be your eyes and ears, you know, let your sound get out there, and that's what we do, is we go after that one that wants to bugle, so we're not just seeing what's in front of us, we're throwing a bugle out there to see what's within the next 200 yards.
Okay, cool. And then what would be the biggest terrain, Roosevelt? And it's kind of same terrain as you guys, real thick. The ridiculously thick. What would be the best type of advice you could give?
For thickness?
Be aggressive.
Be aggressive. So a lot of bugling, a lot of stuff.
So, it's thick. The elk are in the thickness as well. So what you need to do, or what I would recommend doing is a lot of raking, a lot of rubbing, a lot of stomping on sticks. The elk make a ton of noise, so you need to be as realistic as possible. You're never going to really spook an elk if he can't smell you or see you if you're making real elk sounds and making noise. And whether that be, you know, tapping on a root or kicking a log or whatever, elk are super, super loud when they're coming through the woods. And to mimic them and to make it as more lifelike that you can, it's the better.
Yeah, and we've had it like when you're calling a bull and they're coming at you, he hangs up, that breaking brush and like actually running at that bull and bugling, simulating the same what you want that bull to do and react to, and that's kind of that. Don't be afraid to move in tight on them. I think a lot of people hold back at 300 or 400 yards, hoping that they're going to come. And the thicker it is, the less likely they're going to travel a longer distance.
Okay, cool. Well, I appreciate you guys calling me. I saw the thing on Instagram. I was like, oh, they're not going to call me.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah.
Good luck this season, and stay safe and kill a giant, would you?
Yeah. You guys, too. Hopefully, we all get lucky.
That's right, buddy. Good talking to you, Austin.
Yeah, thanks for the call. You guys have a good one.
Yeah, you too. We'll see you, man.
Bye.
I love that.
Fellow Roosevelt hunter.
Yeah, Washington.
It's awesome.
That's actually, you know, I think Washington's one of those people, even in Washington, seem to bag on that place, but there's good hunting up there.
Oh, yeah.
I think the hardest part that you're disadvantaged there, especially evening and weekend hunting, is you're a 2-week season. So you only got 3 weekends.
And that really limits you.
Yeah. And
it's prime time, though.
Yeah, it's good.
This
year I think it opens on the 7th of September.
It's not terrible.
So a couple week long through the 20th, I think.
That's a tough deal, 2 weeks. And then, you know, and that's the normal, I mean, Austin honestly he's the normal guy. He's the normal guy getting out there. He's the normal guy. You only have a couple days. I have a family. Totally understandable. And what's the best way to get it done? That was a good question.
Next question we got is from Johnny _TC _Kamenga.
Kamenga.
Question. What was generally the attitude of hunters that you ran into? Bitter that you guys were on their mountainside or helpful and put you guys first before themselves? I experienced a lot of good encounters with hunters. Just was curious if you guys run into different characters out there. This time I won't be sleeping through my call and troll you with my voicemail. So, Johnny.
Johnny.
Dial him up. He's awake. Come on, John.
Oh, Johnny.
He thinks you're...
Yeah, you restricted his number, so he's just going to say telemarketer.
Gosh, well...
Hello?
Johnny.
This is Johnny. I can't come to the farm. He got you again! I'll get you as soon as I can. Thanks, and have a great day.
Hey, Johnny, this is...
At the tone, please record your voice message. When you are finished recording, you may hang up or press pound for more options.
Hey, Johnny, it's Cody, Trent, Wes from Born and Raised. We missed you again.
Keep trolling us.
Should I give him a second chance to do it without the...
Call him right back.
Sorry, here.
I followed this guy on Instagram.
Oh, really?
He killed a giant bull last year.
Really?
Yep. Giant. Yep. May have been a bugle we heard.
Yep.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Okay, Johnny. Third time's a charm.
Oh, he is going to troll your personal number so hard. I cannot wait.
I'm going to leak all your res phone numbers then.
Oh.
Hello?
Johnny.
Who is this?
This is Cody.
Who is this?
Gosh. Cody from Born and Raised.
I have a... I'm thinking this is Born and Raised, but it says Oregon on it. That's kind of what I'm thinking here.
Yeah, it is. Yep. It is.
You got us.
It's Trent, Cody, awesome. And Wes. How's it going, brother?
Good. Hey, I'm not sleeping this time.
Yeah. That's good. That's good.
You ignored our first phone call, so I gave you a second chance.
Oh, thanks. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
No problem.
Where are you from, Johnny?
I'm from Michigan.
Okay.
Oh, wow. Good deal.
Grand Rapids area of Michigan.
Good deal. Well, you got plans to come out elk hunting again this year?
Oh, you betcha. I'm hooked, man.
Converted from
every year.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, it sounds like...
Unfortunately, I won't actually be hunting. I'll actually be kind of helping my brother. He hasn't gone out yet, so me and my brother are taking our older brother and his buddy out. We're going to see if we can help them get a couple of elk down, so...
Good on you. That's awesome.
That's just as fun as hunting, actually.
Oh, you bet. You know, my brother went with me last year, and he didn't get a tag. So it's just so much work with just two guys.
Yeah.
I ended up getting one, and it's just as much fun, so...
That's awesome. That's so awesome. What do you got for a question for us, Johnny?
Yeah, well, I was kind of thinking, we ran into quite a few people when we were out last year out in Colorado public land. And I was kind of just wondering, how were people when you guys ran into them? Was that, you know, a lot of people kind of bitter, like, oh, man, we were just chasing a bull. These guys plowed through, you know, tooting their horns and stuff. Or were they kind of like, oh, hey, no problem. You know, you guys can hunt if you want. But that's what we got most of the time. We run to some guys like, oh, yeah, go ahead. You know, take this whole drainage. Go for it, you know. And lots of people out there were just so helpful and stuff.
That's so awesome.
And I don't think we ran into one guy that was really ticked off or mad that we were kind of in their area. So I wasn't sure if the land of the free 2.0, if you guys had any bad encounters, or was that majority of it just, you know, people all for it and everything?
Yeah, I think you can look at that a couple different ways, I think, and I guess it depends on, you know, what kind of person you are. Either you could be mad about it because they're hunting in quote unquote your area or whatever, or you could be jacked about it and be like, you know what, if you've put in the effort and the time to get as far as I am in here, Right. Man, you're someone that I actually want to hang out with, right?
Yeah. So
exactly.
So yeah, we did last year. We ran into a lot of people, and it was crazy because I would say about 90% of them knew who we were already. So it was like,
right.
It was pretty nuts. It was crazy. But it was always, I mean, there's a few of them, a handful of them, we just took hunting. We just said, hey, you want to go hunting? And just put them right in the group and you know, take them out and call for them. We never did kill anything with someone that we did, took out. But yeah, it's just, it is what you make it, right? And you just kind of just have to just roll with the punches sometimes.
Yeah.
And just even laying that impression on them, just like, not every hunter is out there to take what's theirs, you know, they're out there to help each other out. It's not all, you know, free for all out there. We're all one team out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Whatever you can do to help each other out.
Absolutely. And there was times like you talked about where we said, hey, we're going to head this drainage, or, you know, give them their choice right off the bat and say, hey, where are you guys headed? We'll head in a different spot, because you don't want to be stepping on somebody else, you know, the whole time.
For them or for us.
Yeah, it just doesn't make sense. So we would definitely do exactly what you were saying and just, you know, switch drainages or however it panned out. I mean, elk, they could be anywhere, right?
Yeah. And I mean, honestly, some of my favorite times of the hunt last year was running into some of those guys and hearing the stories and the inspiration that you know, coming out solo. I met Travis from Wisconsin, and we spent an hour chatting about why he was out there and what he'd gone up against. And man, it was really cool to see someone take the bull by the horns and go and do it. So
yeah.
I mean, it, honestly, a lot. A lot of those experiences inspired us even further. So,
yeah, it's crazy the friendships you got out there. You just wouldn't think you're going to go out in the middle of the mountain, you're going to meet so many people and connect in such a way like that. It's so cool.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yep. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You have any other question, bud?
Maybe if you guys, are you guys going to go back to Colorado this coming fall, or... Is that set in stone yet?
Go ahead.
Working on it. Yeah, it sounds like we'll be there. We're just trying to figure out logistically when that leg of the trip's going to be. Definitely going to shoot for a new area this year, try something totally different, and go explore.
Right.
Explore the great state of Colorado.
Yep.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
There is a lot of elk in that state.
Oh, yeah. And there's also weird blowdown.
There is some blowdown.
Yeah.
Yes, there is. Yeah, there is a lot of blowdown.
Yeah, just ask.
If you're going to hunt Colorado, you better be training for that kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Just ask Dirk to show him his scars from last year.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
Poor Dirk.
Oh, man. Oh, yeah.
Well, thank you for your question, man. Well, we appreciate it.
Hey, appreciate you guys calling. Took me out of work for a bit.
That good works deal. Awesome. So, win-win.
Pretty awesome.
All right. Well, good luck out there this fall with your brother. Stay safe and kill another giant.
Have some fun.
Hey, thank you. You too, guys.
All right,
have a good
thanks.
Season. Right. This coming season.
See you, brother.
Bye.
All right. We'll see ya.
Bye.
Bye.
It is true, though. I mean, like, I think the mindset, you can, like I said, and even over the years, like, almost every experience we've had has been really positive. I can't really think of any.
And I think I think a lot of it has to do with the style of hunting that we do.
Right,
so, like, if you're going to look at, like, the private timberland and you take, you know, a road and then pretty soon you're parked at the cat road and someone starts walking past you, how many times have we heard that, you know? And things could, you know, go a little differently at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah. But especially in a backpack scenario, most of those guys are all putting in a bunch of time and work. And they're guys that you'd want to, you know, sit around a campfire and share a beer with.
So. Absolutely. Tag out L.
Yeah. This guy's name is Dave _ Doughty or Doughty. He says, I know you guys have covered it before, but what motivates each of you every day to continue doing this? Outside of the financial aspect, you see a lot of folks that try it and do well, but then begin to slow down on content. Kind of a circular question, but any insight would be awesome. And he says, I'm working, so I'll answer if I can.
I wonder what he does. What name? Dave?
Dave Doughty. I'm going to say electrician.
It's a Washington number.
Washington.
I'm going to say dishwasher salesman.
Dishwasher salesman.
Could be.
The Disher 5000.
This is Dave.
Dave, how's it going? This is Trent West and Cody from Born and Raised Outdoors.
Oh, what's up, guys?
How's not your day?
Much. Oh, just working.
We've got
living away.
We've got bets going on. What do you do for work?
I work for a sawmill, a timber company.
Oh, good deal.
All right, so you got keys for us. That's awesome.
I wish. I pay for them just like you guys did.
Oh, yeah. No kidding. Well, got your question on Instagram. What will you want to go over what you were thinking about there?
Yeah, you know, you see a lot of guys come out nowadays that try and get something off the ground. Initially, they put out really good content. Then I guess they just kind of lose their drive. So then they fade out. So my question to you guys was, what keeps you guys going? How do you guys constantly come out with good content and kind of what drives you day to day?
I think that's a great question. I think it's honestly, and I do hear what you're saying as far as some groups come out and then, you know, just a flash in the pan or maybe a little bit. And I think what's kept us going is the drive the whole time of our why. And it's our why is to educate, entertain, and inspire. And if we can do that, it motivates us in more ways than you can imagine. Just like, honestly, just like these calls that we're doing now, to hear people and to talk, to be able to talk hunting, whether it be elk hunting, whether it be anything hunting, and hear the inspiration possibly in their voice. That's what keeps us going every single day, definitely.
Yeah, you absolutely nailed it. Exactly what I was, you know, the why is what keeps us going. I mean, and like Trent touched on, hearing people that are motivated by our content is incredibly motivating to us. I think the ability to touch lives and hear some of those stories and it's pretty amazing, pretty humbling for sure.
And we get a lot of questions from people, especially like people that you're just talking about that want to start up a company, that want to try to do this for a living, and we field a ton of questions from those people. And the advice that I give right off the bat, the first thing is just what we talked about, is make sure, why are you doing this? Why do you want to? And a lot of them that say, well, because I want to film my hunts, you know, and it's like, okay, that's awesome to film content and to, you know, distribute your content and stuff. But why? What's the main reason why you're doing it? And I would definitely say have that in mind every single time that you go out and produce anything.
Okay. Well, perfect, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you thinking about picking up a camera or?
Yeah, we're dabbling in it a little bit. Still not to that point where, you know, the camera comes before the shot. But.
Right.
That's a big hurdle to climb over. That's a big one. Yeah. Yeah. Because, I mean, we only get so many days a season, right?
Yeah. We'll see what 2019 has in store, though. Hopefully it's not good for us. So.
Do you draw any tags this year?
We'll find out on the 14th, so we'll know here in a couple days.
Gotcha. Yeah, we're right there, 20th in June here for Oregon.
For Oregon.
Yeah, I'm chomping at the bit, going crazy. So.
I love it.
But, right on,
well,
man.
All right,
guys.
Thank you so much,
Dave.
I appreciate it, man, on your work day. I appreciate it.
Yep, great question.
All right. Have a good one, guys. Thank you so much.
Yeah, good luck this year, brother.
You too.
Bye.
Yeah, that's a big thing as far as we get a question all the time on email, a ton of emails. Hey, I want to start filming my own hunts. What do I need to do? And there's a very few of them that actually say, hey, man, how is your business set up? What do you guys do there? How do you guys approach this, and that? And it's tough because you see a lot of these people that they do make good content. And the one that comes to mind is Pure Elevation, Tyler Crockett, man, they make some awesome, awesome content. And I keep on driving, like, Tyler, you need to keep on posting. Because he's got, like, libraries full of stuff that he's just sitting on, And I'm just like, dude, you got to post some stuff. Throw it up there, because everything he posts turns to gold. And he's just like, oh, I'm kind of busy. And then the next time I see him, he's like, I meant to put that up there. But
it's all edited, done, and just haven't posted it.
Great dude, great guy.
So the next one we got is, name on Instagram is WV underscore pipeliner.
Plumber.
Really? What gives it away?
I'm just saying.
So anyways, question is, Logan Williams, what's been your guys' favorite hunt and what's been your toughest hunt? And then he says, or what's your guys' favorite way to get in shape for elk season? So we're going to let you
There's
take
no favorites.
This one.
Yeah.
Name?
Logan.
Logan hates you.
Hello.
Hello?
Yeah.
Oh. Logan, this is Cody, Trent, and Wes from Born and Raised Outdoors.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Awesome, awesome. Where are you from, Logan?
West Virginia.
Oh, man, that's awesome. Back east. Hey, we're just doing some question and answer stuff, and you rang in with a question. We'd love to try to answer it if we could. Go ahead and shoot at us.
What's your guys' all-time favorite hunt you've been on?
Man.
I would say for me, our first out-of-state elk hunt, 2012 to Wyoming, would have been one of the most favorite 2 weeks of elk hunting I've ever had, for sure. That was the unknown, the excitement, the planning, and drove 1,200 miles, got there, and literally woke up by elk running through our camp the very first day hunting, and it was like, this would not have happened back home. So that was kind of the set the stage for 14 days of pure chaos and awesome adventure and ultimately success for all of us. So
uncommon ground.
Uncommon ground. Yeah.
Yeah. I get this question. We get it quite a bit, and it's like, it's hard to just say this was my favorite because every single one has got its own nostalgia, I think, to it.
Mm-hmm.
One of the big ones that stands out with me is me and my dad. We went out and killed. He killed a really nice bull before work one day, and that was one of the neat ones for me. But yeah, they all have their own nostalgia, I think, to each and every single hunt. What's your favorite hunt? What's that? How about let's turn it around?
My first time going up to Colorado last year, elk hunting.
It was nice.
The best experience of my life. I mean. First day I saw elk, I saw a herd of 75 and ended up shooting a bull on the last day, but hit it too far forward and never did find it. So, I can do it forward.
But
this
the experience
year.
Was pretty awesome, I bet.
Oh, yeah, it was the best experience of my life hearing that first elk bugle.
Yeah, isn't it something else?
Oh, yeah. I mean, beautiful country out there.
Yeah.
You have plans to go back?
Yeah, we're going back. We're leaving August 29th to go out for 2 weeks this year.
Very
sweet.
Cool.
Sweet.
Very cool.
No, and it's those experiences, man, that just after you felt that adrenaline rush and everything that goes along with elk hunting, with the you see them, you smell them, you can hear them. I mean, it's all the senses, right, all put together. And it's probably a little different than whitetail hunting.
What was that?
It's probably a little different than whitetail hunting.
Oh, yeah, it's a lot different. I mean, that bull came out of the woods and looked right at me as I was drawing on him. So much bigger than the whitetail.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Any other questions you got for us, bud?
No, not really. You guys, that was the main question I wanted to ask you guys.
Cool.
Yeah,
cool.
Just I think the biggest thing that we always do is just embrace every moment and every challenge that you're faced during a hunt and, like, what that's going to do for you in the future, you know, learning from it, and just take that ride on the roller coaster while you're there, and, you know, just cherish every moment of it.
I definitely will.
Yeah,
that's awesome, man. Well, thank you so much for putting your call in, and good luck this year. Go kill a giant.
Good luck to you guys too, and thank you for calling me back.
Absolutely,
yeah, appreciate it.
Absolutely, be safe out there. We'll see you.
See ya.
Okay. But awesome, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, drive out from
West Virginia.
That's a poke. I mean, that's
we've talked about it a bunch of times, I think, and it's just like, you know, we're pretty spoiled to be where we live and to have the mountains around us and to kind of call our quote-unquote home. But to be – I just got back a couple weeks ago from Wisconsin. Weston and I went out there for some turkey hunting, and it's flat. It's not mountainous. It's not nothing. And I can't imagine being from there and coming clear out west and going, there is no way I'm going over that mountain right there. Right? There is no way. You know, it's got to be super intimidating.
Well, if you're talking to the hunting public guys, and we're like, so what's the, what is the, like, you know, how's the day line out? And they're like, well, you pretty much just go until you're tired. And we're like, so what is this? We can go a ways, you know.
What does that mean?
Like, and I'm thinking, this isn't exactly the worst terrain out here. We can probably go a real long ways if we had, you know.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
it was pretty funny.
It was something else. But yeah, no, just like Cody said, getting out and just doing that and being from a whole different state like that, that's super reputable. They've got my respect in a big way.
Yeah, that's really, really neat.
So,
yeah.
All right, guys. Well, we did some questions. We did an update on the new goings-ons for Born and Raised, and we're trying to get some things out there. And our goal, honestly, is to hang out with you guys more and see what you guys want. And anyway, on our way to 100,000 subscribers, hopefully, on YouTube. We're getting close. We're getting close, and I don't know, when we get there, it's going to be like, now what do we do? Yeah. Now what do we do?
Make another video.
We'll have to do some sort of prize.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
But in the interim, like I said, during the month of June, you guys can go sign up for our Hunter's Essential gear giveaway. We've got 10 prize packages coming that way. So several thousand dollars worth of gear. And it would mean the world if you just sign up, put your email into it, and hopefully draw your name.
Absolutely. Thanks to our awesome sponsors as well for like kicking down on all that stuff.
Yes.
That's pretty amazing.
And for Onyx for sponsoring this podcast.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Those guys are great, doing great things. I actually learned a lot this last weekend about the capabilities of that and kind of the pre-planning with some routes that definitely use in the future, I think.
They actually just came out with their multicolored waypoints.
And routes. Yeah. And multicolored routes, which was crazy.
And that was because of us, truly.
Yes.
I want to say.
Yep.
Remember?
I didn't hear that.
No. Oh, I could tell you the story, but it's, you know. It probably
bore you. It's when he was hanging out with the founder.
Yeah, it probably bore you. But, yeah, I have stock in the company.
13? 12%?
I'm at 13% right now. Yeah. I'm at 13% stockholders.
Yes. Retiring from Born and Raised.
Yeah, good chance of it. I'm thinking about selling out.
So
thank you guys so much for listening to the Born and Raised audio experience. And please leave a comment on, how do they do that?
iTunes review.
Review.
And I'm actually looking at a couple right now. I've just got them all pulled up as we're doing this. And thank you, everybody, that's given us a review.
Yeah.
And it seems like there's been like 1 3-star and 1 4-star and the rest 5 stars.
Probably
and
some of my family, probably.
I'm looking at one. One of them is probably this one right here. It says, no more Wesley.
Dang it.
Yeah, I guarantee
probably it. That one.
We're going to limit him, I promise you guys. So.
But no, we appreciate all the reviews. And absolutely. Like I said, give us a 5-star review if you can. And
I'm sure they can. It's just a button. If you would like to. If you got value
some
out of what you heard.
Some people literally can't because they can't move their arms.
Oh, good call. And then there's that. Anyway, guys.
All right. Got awkward.
Yeah. We're going to end this one. I think we're going to just pull this back and take this one to the end here, bud.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right. We'll see you.